I'm going to preach a very short challenge, and then I'm going to put a booklet into your hands tonight, and we're going to spend some time in that booklet, and I'm going to be unveiling the next 3 years to our church and asking you to jump on board, asking you to believe the impossible if God will allow us to do it. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let me switch here, Brother Brandon. Tanner, somebody. On the lapel mic, there we go. "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the law of God. I thank you that as we keep your word, we will find a true happiness. We'll find ourselves being very blessed in a way that we never could imagine. We don't have to seek for a satisfaction and a happiness in this world when we've been promised that we will know it, we'll experience it in your word and in your will. So I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, help us from a biblical foundation to know what vision is, to know how that we as a church can prepare to follow that vision that you've given to us. God, please help me to communicate very clearly. I thank you for every single person that's here tonight. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart ready and excited to listen to what God wants us to do and to be on board in unity and one accord to get involved in seeing it accomplished. God, grow our faith tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says very clearly, where there is no vision, the people perish. Obviously, from the statement that's made by Helen Keller, she's making a statement that has to do with what you actually see. The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. She's suggesting to us that the things that you see are not what's most important. The things that you see are not really what you ought to be living for. It's something beyond that. The Bible challenges us that we as a people of God should not walk by sight, but by faith. That's right. It's very important for us. The just shall live by faith. And so we need to become very accustomed to not trusting the things that we see right before us, because what we see, and if we only walk by what we see, will greatly limit what God can call us to do, what God can challenge, what God can stretch us to do if we'll just have faith. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and I want to remind us that this word perish is a very interesting word. It does not mean to die or to cease. We understand John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's talking about the eternal perishing, the eternal death that we would experience without Jesus Christ. That's not this word that we find in the scriptures here. This word perish that we find in the book of Proverbs comes from a root word that means to loosen, to expose, or to dismiss. It gives us the idea that where there is no vision, there'll be no restraint. There'll be nothing to guide or hold us in the right direction. I made the statement a few weeks ago. I'm reading from the same notes that I had then. Biblical vision keeps us rightly tied to. Biblical vision keeps us rightly covered and protected by. Biblical vision keeps us rightly engaged in the will of God for where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do. Vision is vital. This word, where there is no vision, the people perish, is very, very important, because I just identified for us the word perish. The word vision is this idea of the word of God, the prophecy, the foretelling of God's truth. Where there is no truth, where there is no settled truth, don't we live in a society that says truth is relative? Whatever you want to do, whatever you think is right, we're no different that far off from the day that Noah found himself building an ark. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so tonight we're combating this philosophy that says, as a believer, yea, even as a church member here at Calvary Baptist Church, you can kind of decide what you want to do in this ministry. You can kind of decide what you think is best for you. The secret to the New Testament church, in part, I believe, was that they were unified. They had one accord. They kept the apostles' doctrine. They paid close attention to their fellowship. They made sure that their lives, personally and corporately, were guided by a settled truth. Now, of course, I'm referring to the Word of God. I'm referring to the Bible. I've been challenging us for these last 12 years to take the next step and grow in the study of Scriptures. I hope that every single one of us feels a little more comfortable in the Bible than we did 12 months ago, or I've been preaching in part for vain, just wondering what maybe could have been accomplished in your life. Every single one of us needing to constantly mature, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been at any of the services this last year? Okay, thank you. You know, to pay more attention, to be more involved in the Scriptures and in Sunday school and all the services, and wow, how exciting it's been to have our attendances up and to see you more faithful to church, I trust partly as a desire to grow in the Scriptures. You see, having this truth, being very confident in the truth that God has given to us, Solomon writes here that where that vision is, where this truth is, where this prophecy, the Word of God is, we'll find a people not perishing. We'll find a people that stay the course. We'll find a people that are established in what they ought to be established in. He tells us in this very verse, he gives us the context for this word vision by saying, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, how do you know this vision is the prophecy, is the truth, is the word of God? Because Solomon makes the connection for us in verse number 18, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I've included the entire verse with this year's theme as we're looking ahead 5 years because I always want to emphasize how important the Word of God is. You can do a search online. You can sit in any number of churches, and I'm certain you'll hear a message. You'll hear a theme about where there is no vision, and you'll hear a lot of discussion about just having a desire, having a gumption, having a dream to do something in the future. That's not what vision is. That's not what Solomon is stating to us. He says this vision that we're going to have is going to be directly tied to or coming from the law of God. I want to make some very simple statements tonight and challenge us concerning what God's will is for us as a church. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is the man that keeps the law. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Folks, we must always keep at the forefront of this church the Word of God. We must always emphasize, no matter what discussion we're having, no matter what dreams or plans or decisions have to be made, we must always keep the Bible at the forefront of that. We must always keep the Scriptures as our motivation. The Scriptures, obviously, in its commands as our mandates. We must always keep the Word of God at the forefront of everything that we do. Would you agree with that? That the Word of God is the most important thing to us. Because if we don't have the Word of God, if we don't have a truth that is settled in the heavens, the Bible says heaven and earth are passing away, but His Word is not passing away. It's forever settled in the heavens. The fact is, you have the Word of God in your hand because the Word of God doesn't change. Because it's preserved. The inspired Word of God is as well the preserved Word of God. The most precious jewel that we ought to treasure in our lives is the Word of God. We must keep this forefront. It must be the most important thing in our lives. If we will become a people consumed with the Word of God, I believe, as I preached just a few weeks ago, that we won't have any problems with being a visionary church. Remember, I talked about three different kinds of churches, a rearview mirror church, then a church that's just kind of in maintain mode, and then I suggested to us that we ought to be a visionary church. I made these statements to us then. The visionary church meets the needs of the present while always looking forward. This church believes that the best of God's will is still yet to come. Why is it still yet to come? Because there's still more Bible to learn. There's still more obedience to be had to the commands and to the principles of God's Word. You don't know all the Bible. I don't know all the Bible. But as we continue to learn it and know it, is not the best yet to come? Is not there more blessings for our church, more blessings for our families, more blessings for our individual lives? Most certainly there is. I said that the visionary church invests all that they have today so that they can be all that God wants them to be tomorrow. What is our life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then pff, just like that, it's gone. And so if we invest in the things of this life, they're just passing away. There's no real substance to that. So the Bible commands us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For us to make a decision as a church, I'm going to invest everything that I have. And we'll look at again at our vision statement in just a moment. It's printed every single week on our Sunday bulletins. And we state very clearly what we're going to be investing. I said the visionary church trains men today to be leaders tomorrow. This is probably the weakness of the church in today's society, a lack of male leadership. It's the weakness of our homes. It's the weakness of our churches. A visionary church purposely trains men to be leaders. Leaders where? Leaders in this church. Leaders in a community. Leaders in the churches that we'll plant out of this church. The visionary church seeks to grow today to meet the needs of members in the future. Let me read that statement again because it's very important for tonight's discussion. The visionary church seeks to grow today, to meet the needs of the members in the future. This vision, this year's theme, 2020 vision, is not at all about 2015. In some ways, it's not even about 2016. In some ways, it's not about 2017 or 2018 or 2019. No, it's about the future that God has for our church. It's about the future that we believe God is going to allow us to see as we stay faithful to follow His Word. Seeks to grow today to meet the needs of members in the future. The visionary church realizes that if it never fails at something, it's because it's not trying anything. If we want to be a church that moves forward with vision, then we must accept the fact that there will be times that we may fail along the way. I fully accept the fact that anything I might present to you tonight in a dream, in a vision, in a desire to do what God has called us to do might lead us to failure. And I'm okay with that. Might lead us to a ministry that we start that doesn't quite work out. That might lead us to a place where we don't see the success that we think we will see. But I'd far rather try and attempt great things for God and leave the results to Him than to simply sit back and do nothing for the cause of Christ. How much vision do you have for your church? I made this statement, a blind man's world is limited by his touch and by his hearing. An ignorant man's world is limited by his knowledge, what he doesn't know. A great man's world is only limited by his vision. A vision without a task is just a dream. Folks, 2 years ago, God didn't give me a dream. God gave me a vision. Amen. A task without a vision is only drudgery. I'm not a taskmaster. I'm not a dictator that is demanding you do some certain things. This should not be drudgery for you. A vision and a task is the hope for the world. What I'm going to present to you tonight is the hope for the Cedar Valley. What I'm going to present to you tonight is the hope for the state of Iowa. What I'm going to present to you tonight is the hope for the United States of America. And yes, as this quote was given, is the hope for the world. Folks, I've emphasized over the last month and a half, it's not about me, it's not about you. There's not one single person that is going to secure the success of this vision. There's not one single family that's going to make or break this ministry. It's about a real God who's really doing something among us. He's really trying to press us to launch out into the deep. You know, the banner's not there anymore, but to risk something. What was that risk? Stepping from the known to the unknown and attempting great things for God. I ended that message just a couple of weeks ago. God, help us to have vision. God, help us never to loosen ourselves from the task at hand. God, help us to never uncover ourselves from the protection of your will. God, help us to never wander from the path that you are leading us to go. God, give us vision. 2-3 weeks ago, I forget the exact date that I preached that message, I ended that sermon with that statement. God, give us vision. I've waited all these weeks to inform you that God has given us vision. You don't have to pray that way anymore. He's already given it to us. Christian, will you come help me? I've got plenty of these, and so, Christian, come help me, bud. I've got plenty of these, so you guys pass those out. What I'm going to ask you to do is, the littlest kids that aren't very adept at reading, let's not put one into their hands. If you're comfortable sharing one, Knox, come help me, bud. If you're comfortable sharing one, go ahead and share one, but I think I have plenty of them. Go ahead. Knox, come help me, please. Cambridge, please come help me. Cambridge, I want you to go to the back section, please. BJ, you just be ready to fill these in maybe where Pawpaw didn't get one. Cambridge, all the way to the back section. Okay? When you dismiss... Oh, wait, BG, I need one. I gave my copy away. When we dismiss tonight, I'd like just you to take one for your family. So I don't mind. You'll have multiples tonight so we can follow along easier. But when you dismiss tonight, please take one for your family, and we'll just collect these at the back pew or something like that, because these are booklets that we'll be handing out to our new members as the Lord continues to give us increase over this year. And obviously, as we need more, I'll be able to print more, but I don't want to exhaust our supply here tonight when we don't have to, because the cover's printed in color. Now, don't jump too far ahead of me. There's a specific purpose for every single page. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Boys, very good. Bring those extras up to me. Yep. These girls need a couple right here, BJ. I don't mind if Jeremiah has one. You boys want to share one? Christian and Jeremiah, bring one over here. Anybody else? We still have a few more. Anybody else want another one? You didn't get one first? Yep. Go back there to the back, BJ. Brother Brandon's going to have one. Gage, you're sitting real close to your daddy. Why don't you two boys share one? Uh-oh. Cousin rivalry there. Cambridge beat you, BJ. I'll take the extra ones. Cambridge, you need one? There you go. So please be careful not to booger them up and twist over the pages and stuff like that if you're not keeping a copy. They'll continue to look nice for those that we're giving them out to. On page number one, you find a general introduction. Planning in a dynamic organization such as a church is a constantly evolving process. Due to the nature of a church as a living organism, it is very true to say that a growing and healthy church is always in transition. And that is true about planning as well, always transitioning the planning. Because change is never ending, planning must be conceived as an ongoing process rather than an end in and of itself. Planning is clearly a journey, a part of the path that we must walk as we continue to pursue the will of God. Our ultimate planning goal is to produce fully developing disciples that serve the Lord through this church. All of our planning is aiming to produce that. Any discussion that we have, ministry, church, all of that, the purpose is for us to develop, produce fully developing disciples that serve the Lord through this church. Therefore, the primary task of Calvary Baptist Church is to focus on the transforming power of the gospel and the entire Word of God. When God laid this year's theme on my heart 2 years ago, I simply did not believe that it was possible. I told the Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. What I struggled to conceive then has become a clear view of what God can do today. If all things are possible to those who will believe, I challenge you to step beyond your sight and walk with me by faith. Let's walk together with 2020 vision. This document's been produced to help provide substance to the faith that is being expressed as our 2020 vision. This is presented into your hands with the desire to aid you in being equipped with the necessary direction to fully meet our goals that will turn our vision into a reality. I want to start off by reminding our church of the covenant that we have made one to another. I realize we have some folks in attendance tonight that are not members, and so this covenant doesn't specifically apply to you, but it'll help you to understand how serious our members are concerning their responsibility to this church. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote her prosperity and spirituality, to sustain her worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to give to her a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of this church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotion, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintance, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage and drugs for non-medical purposes, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and in distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rule of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church of like faith and practice where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of the Word of God. Members, I remind you that a covenant is not something that we entered into lightly, and to vow a vow unto God and to not pay it invites the great chastisement of God on our lives. And so this is again presented before us to keep it before us, keep it on our minds. As you turn the page, we adopted a vision statement. A vision statement is a clear, realistic view of the future. It is a statement of a destination towards which the church should constantly aim. The vision statement is intended to reflect the heart of our church at Calvary Baptist. It should serve as the focus of every ministry effort and demonstrates the importance of discipleship, which is summarized as reaching the lost with the gospel, baptizing the believers, and then teaching them to live faithful to the Savior. The heart of our vision is to be fully developing disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is expressed in the following words. We as a church adopted this in 2011. Our vision statement is to serve the Lord faithfully by investing our abilities, energies, and resources for the furtherance of the gospel and the equipping of the saints so that God might be well pleased and glorified. This was not just some concoction out of my brain or out of any number of the members' brains. It was straight out of the Word of God. And you see the passages from the Bible that we used to frame our vision statement. I end there, page number 5, by saying the next 5 years are expected to be a critical time period in the life of Calvary Baptist Church. The potential for growth is unprecedented, and our readiness to stay committed to our vision will help us to see the greatest days ahead become a present reality. Let's turn the page. More specifically, God's vision for Calvary Baptist Church. Napoleon once pointed to a giant map of China and said, "There lies a sleeping giant. If it ever wakes up, it will be unstoppable." We might be living in the days that China has woken up. I suggest to you that our church is a sleeping giant as well, and that if we will ever awaken out of the sleep and slumber that the world has lulled us into, we too will be unstoppable. Why? We will be unstoppable because of the presence and the power of God that will preside among us. We will be unstoppable because of the direction and the determination that will shape us. We will be unstoppable because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And in Christ we are more than conquerors. As a called out body of believers, assembling ourselves together, we were designed by God to live a life with divine purpose and meaning. We were designed to be a part of Christ's proclamation that He would build His church. From our theme verse of Proverbs 29:18, God is telling us that without a clear understanding of God's vision for our future, we as a group of people will grow undisciplined and unrestrained. We will digress to everyone trying to do what they think is right in their own eyes as it relates to the will of God for our church. The reason for vision is because God's vision for God's people comes from God's Word, and will keep us rightly tied to, rightly protected by, and rightly engaged in the will of God, so that we are going where we're supposed to go and doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we're careful to understand God's will for our church and unwaveringly obey it, the Lord will bless us. Thus, a God-given biblical vision is vital. Now, understand that God's vision that I'm unveiling to us tonight is in itself a constantly growing thing, a constantly changing and adjusting thing. This is just where we're at today. This is what I understand and know tonight. But what's going to happen a year from now? What's going to happen 2 years from now? What's going to happen 3 years from now? God is going to continue to give us light for our steps. He's going to illuminate the path that we're supposed to walk, and we're going to have to stay committed to His Word so that we'll never miss one iota, one jot or one tittle from his vision for us. If we're going to stay committed to God's vision, then we must hold true to these core values. I've never presented these to our church before. They summarize a number of different things. In some parts, they're a summary of our statement of faith. They're a summary of our philosophy of ministry. They're a summary of how we operate as a church. But more succinctly, just page number 7, some core values of Calvary Baptist Church. We believe in the absolute trustworthiness and supreme authority of the Word of God. We are committed to preaching and teaching the Word of God as the only infallible rule of our faith and practice. We believe in the priority of outreach and evangelism, boldly and confidently sharing the gospel to reach the lost without Christ all around us. We believe in cooperating with God, in building a healthy church that displays our unity in Christ and welcomes new people into the family so that their lives can be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in purposely making disciples and training people in order to help believers reach their highest potential for spiritual maturity. We believe in excellence and excitement in every area of our ministry. We believe in wise stewardship of funds given to the Lord through this church. We believe in pursuing purity within the church and will exercise church discipline for doctrinal and moral failures. We're committed to restoration and practicing the peacemaking principles found in the Scriptures. One final thought before we get to some of the specifics of the next 3 years. I want to draw to our attention the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Our mission as a local church is to faithfully live out the Great Commandment. What is that? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Jesus was asked, what is the first and great commandment? And this is the answer that he gave. Our mission as a local church is to faithfully live out the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, which is to evangelize the lost, baptize the believing, and disciple the saved. Jesus gave his disciples a very clear command to go and to make disciples of all nations, to preach the gospel to every creature. These two greats are non-negotiable when it comes to what we as a church must be and do. We say that our mission is first to live out the Great Commandment. Because when we love Christ supremely and give Him the preeminence in our lives, everything else will more easily fall into place. When you are in love with your Lord, obeying Him will never be a chore. His commands will not be thought of as grievous, and when they are obeyed, will always produce joy and blessing for the child of God. Christ desires that we give our very best to Him, our entire self as a living sacrifice. He longs for us to say, as the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." When there's nothing else that we care to live for, Christ rightfully has our full hearts. When Christ has our hearts completely, He will then be able to create in us a clean heart that beats with the same love and compassion for the lost as His does. The Great Commission will no longer be neglected, but rather a command passionately obeyed. Constrained by the love of Christ in our own lives, we're convinced that we must be about the Father's business. We then will find it very natural for us to be moved with compassion and to notice the lost as sheep having no shepherd. Just as Jesus was known as a friend of sinners, we too will be consumed with going out into the highways and hedges to compel lost sinners to come to Christ. When we're in close relation with the way, the truth, and the life, we'll find it a great joy to serve in the ministry of reconciliation that Christ has committed to every new creature in Christ Jesus. With a proper vision from the Word of God, we will ensure that our church will never leave off keeping the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. In keeping these two hid in our hearts, we are certain to secure true happiness, both in this life and more importantly, the eternal life to come. The passage said, where there is no vision, where there is no truth, there is no Bible, there is no knowledge of the Word of God, the people perish. They turn everyone to their own way. They decide what is radical Christianity and what is comfortable Christianity. They define the terms whereby it's acceptable to serve God. That's so apart from the Word of God and the will that He would have for our lives. When did God ever suggest to us in His Word that we decide how we want to live for Him? We decide what we think is important to obey. No, that's why the Great Commandment is to give everything we have to Him. body, soul, spirit, mind, our strength, everything, to love Him supremely and for Him to have the preeminence. And when we love Him, we'll love the things that He loves. Obviously, as I'm talking about the Great Commission, I'm talking about loving lost people. Loving the job that we have to do to tell others about Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. You're here tonight as a born-again believer, if you are a born-again believer, because somebody loved you enough to tell you. Because somebody shared the truth of the gospel with you. They loved God and were obedient to preach from a pulpit like this one, to come and knock on a door, to make a visit after VBS, whatever it might have been. There was somebody that actually loved your soul enough to share the truth of the gospel with you. When we live our lives for the great commandment, when we live our lives for the great commission, we'll be happy. We'll be happy. We'll be blessed. We'll find a satisfaction and a joy we've never known before. You're not going to find it in the workplace. You're not even going to find it in your own home. Now, there are things you can find as satisfactions in your own home, in your own workplace, into those things, but not like this, keeping the Word of God, obeying the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. As we turn to these final pages, I want to show you just a few of the things that God's laid on my heart as your pastor. As I try to provide the right kind of leadership for our church to be obedient to the will of God, that we might experience the greatest happiness that God would ever have planned for us as a church. And you see that the first one that it is in as a part of our 2020 vision, which is His mission, our future, is to start a Reformers Unanimous chapter. On each of these items, I have a by date. Meaning that I believe God wants us to have that ministry up and running and fully functioning by that time period. But that doesn't mean that God couldn't do it before then. That doesn't mean that if God grew us, that God gave us that much clearer of a vision on this, that we couldn't do something before those dates. And obviously, if some of these are going to be realized, that means there's work that has to be done today. Work that has to be done next month. Work that has to be done 3 months from now. To start a Reformers Unanimous chapter by January 2016, 1 year from now. This church was established with a strong desire to reach the down and outer, and has historically done a good job at loving the unlovable. However, where we have struggled is in the equipping and growing of those that are coming out of a life of addiction. Reformers Unanimous is a proven ministry and provides a church with the resources to properly reach and retain the addicted for Jesus Christ. It's been proven far too many times that a government-sponsored program doesn't work. And we know that it's not the government's job to fix the ills of our society anyway. Only the power of the gospel and the equipping of the saints will rightly help people to be truly free from the bondage of their sin. Amen. Man, I'm excited about an RU ministry. When I was in Malvern, we didn't have our own RU ministry. We piggybacked off of Hot Springs RU ministry. And so I've never personally served in or overseen an RU ministry. But we have people sitting in our service tonight that are more familiar with an RU ministry. People that have helped run an RU ministry. And I'm excited. We've got people in our service that God's given victory over addictions. That God's worked miracles in their life. And so let me just go ahead and answer a very difficult question. Pastor, who's going to do these things and how are these things going to happen? You are. Amen. You're going to do them. You're how they're going to happen. As we continue to grow, as we continue to move into the vision and following the Word of God and the will of God for our lives. And RU ministry is a powerful ministry. I love the entire concept. I'm fully convinced that all the materials that I have seen, that they're spot on. They're just incredible. And it's a wonderful way for us as a church to impact this community for the cause of Christ. Everything that I'm going to be suggesting to you tonight is serving that one purpose. So that we can better keep the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. None of these things that I'm suggesting to you tonight are just so that we can have ministry for the sake of ministry. They're all for the purpose of impacting this community, even the world, for the cause of Christ. And are you ministry? Believe God have us to do that? The second thing is for us to pay off our current mortgage. We just refinanced in the month of August, September. And you'll notice that over here on the door that the old display is gone, and that's for a very specific purpose. We need to pay off our current mortgage by December 2016. That means we need to pay off our current mortgage in the next 24 months, in 2 years' time. We've got a little under $150,000 as a mortgage. And I'm not even going to talk tonight about what kind of numbers that represents, how much extra we're going to have to start giving every single month so that we can pay off our mortgage. But this is huge. We have to pay off our mortgage. Having a mortgage obviously hinders the forward progress of a church. When a church is weighed down by debt, they begin to experience a sense of guilt when they are forced to ask whether or not the will of God is something they can afford. Obviously, on a monthly basis, our mortgage is one of the largest expenses that we have. It'd be very easy to see, if we didn't have a mortgage, how we could start new ministries. It'd be very easy to see that if we didn't have a mortgage, how that we could hire more staff. We could do more things into the community. And so a mortgage keeps us bound. It keeps us shackled. It puts us in a position at times, whether it's a men's meeting or whether it's me sitting at my desk trying to contemplate how we're actually going to get something accomplished, it causes us to ask whether or not we can afford, does anybody see a problem with this? How we can afford to do God's will. God never wants His people to be in a position where they have to ask whether or not they can afford to do God's will. God's will never lack God's supply. God's will, when faithfully done and followed, will never lack His provision. Oh, it's so very important for us to understand that we've got to get serious. Now, by serious, I mean sacrifice. I'm not asking us as a church to give equally in amount. I'm asking our church to give equal in sacrifice. I'm asking our church to understand how important it is for us as a ministry to relieve ourselves from this burden of a mortgage. A church has an obligation to pay its bills and should always maintain a good testimony in the realm of its financial obligations. So it would be wise to realize that being free from a mortgage would greatly increase a church's freedom to grow and advance for the cause of Christ. Being removed from the weight of a mortgage that does so easily beset them. I don't believe it's wrong scripturally to have a mortgage. I believe it hinders a church. I don't believe having a mortgage in your own life, I bought some acreage a year ago, it is against the will of God, but it hinders what you can do. Being in debt hinders what you can do for the cause of Christ. And so we as individuals ought to strive to get out of debt, and most certainly as a church we ought to do the same. You're turning the page over to the next item. I've got a few of you still with me tonight. As a part of our 2020 vision, His mission, our future, we need to relocate to larger facilities. Relocate to larger facilities. When? As soon as possible. Now, did I put this as the number three item because I think we're going to pay off our mortgage before we move to larger facilities? Or do I think that we're going to start the RU ministry before we move to larger facilities? No, just because this is where it fit the best in the order that I was putting things. It has nothing to do with the time frame. Folks, I'd be completely fine if we moved to larger facilities next week. Rick, you wouldn't have to fix the wall coming up the stairs. Let's just leave it the way it is. Some of you saw the wall and you went, wait a minute, last Sunday it looked real pretty, now it looks ugly. What happened? Because the work that had been done wasn't working as well as he wanted to. And we realized, man, we don't want just a little half a month fix. We want to try to really do the best job possible. And so Rick's been doing a great job bringing his materials up here and fixing that wall. But man, if we get into a larger facility next month, 6 months down the road, 7 months down the road, 12 months down the road, I don't know when we're going to get into a larger facility, but we need to be in a larger facility as soon as possible. I'll give you a few thoughts why in a second. Notice what I put in your booklets. It's no secret that for the past 14 months, God has been blessing our church with increase. With the start of 2014, we were challenged to take the next step and trust God to direct us into new areas of growth, all the while understanding that growth means change, and change involves risk. As each of you took the necessary steps of growth in your life, God continued to pour out the blessings on our church. Part of those blessings have included an increased attendance in all of our regular service times. Sunday morning attendance has doubled over the past 3 years. Sunday night and Wednesday night service have almost doubled as well. It's amazing to think that we could probably only seat another 40 people in our auditorium comfortably on Sunday mornings. Not to mention, where would everyone park when they got here? Needing more space is a good problem to have, and it's a problem that we need to be addressing today. We need to be addressing it today. Now, let me mention a few things to you. It's been a part of the church's desire and thought process to acquire the property next door to the church. Even when Andy was here, he already had an interest in this property next door with the thoughts of, you know, using the house, building more parking, maybe even building a new auditorium if it was necessary. And that's the primary reason why the Huygens purchased that property as I was moving up here to be the pastor. What an exciting phone call I received 3 days before I moved here when Tom and Cheryl Huygens called me and said, "Pastor Wainscott, they just put a for sale sign in the yard next door. What should we do?" And so I had a conversation real quickly. I knew the church was not in a position to try to pursue that property. So we talked, we prayed a little bit. They felt the Spirit led them to pursue that property. Well, praise the Lord for that. Gave me a place to live for almost 2 years. We didn't know that the home park situation was going to end up the way that it did. My family lived next door for 2 years. Well, when are we going to start pouring some gravel and having some parking lot out there? When are we going to start taking advantage? I see they tore that garage down. Does that mean they're getting ready for us to park some vehicles over there? No, they're not getting ready for us to park some vehicles. Tom and I have been in constant communication for 3.5 years about what's going to happen with this property. What did I see the church needing the property for? I found out this year, as my family moved away, as we really realized we're going to need some more parking space, that it is cost prohibitive for us to have that property. I've already talked to all the city officials. I've already talked to all the ones that would have to approve what kind of work and things like that. The skinny on it is, if we purchase that property, and we could potentially purchase that property, if we purchased that property and made it an adjoining property, which it would be an adjoining property to our current property, and if we did anything on that property, we would have to put in a water retention system. The storm drainage, the water retention pond, all the site work that would have to be done on that property alone is easily in the $100,000, $200,000. It's very, very expensive just on that property. That's just that property. If we bought that property as an adjoining property to ours, this property would have to be brought up to code in its water retention. Currently, our property is grandfathered in. All of our water is runoff right now. Any water that comes on the top lot, you can see it, runs right over into the corner between the visitor and the handicap parking and just goes down the hill. All the water that comes onto the lower lot runs towards the mailbox. If we purchased that property and developed anything on that property, we would have to put in a water retention, an engineered water retention plan on that property, as well as bring this property up to code. It would use some of that space, absolutely. Folks, it is not wise for us to pursue that property. It's cost prohibitive for us to even consider doing anything on that property over there. Okay, well where are people going to park? Where we can get creative. We've already talked about that a little bit. You know, are we going to shuttle bus people from the park? Our bus workers, our male bus workers are parking on the street right now to relieve a few spots out of our parking lots. Folks, we need a bigger property. Now, we understand that we can grow our church a little bit in this facility, in this building. We can put 40 more people in our Sunday morning attendance. We can put more kids in our Sunday school classes. My wife can't grow her ladies' class one bit. She's got as many brown chairs in that room as she can possibly fit. We can put a few more kids in our nursery. The biggest and most immediate hindrance is parking. And I've mentioned this once before. Our current property doesn't even technically have enough parking spots for it as it is. A facility like a church is required to have X number of parking spots for how many, dependent upon how many people its main meeting hall will seat. What this room is rated for, we don't have enough parking spots in our two lots as it is. We're about 13, 14, 15 slots short. And then, interestingly enough, I just got a new piece of the mail, a new piece of mail waiting for me when I got back from my trip, and I haven't even had time to investigate it, but it's just all these little things that God just, he told me 2.5 years ago, you need to move. We're not going to be here long term. I didn't know we need to move this year. I knew we were going to move down the road. Had a letter from the city on my desk when I got back. They just passed some type of a code, some type of a law, that all in-floor drains have to be disconnected from the city sewer. By the end of 2016, So we have to start bidding the work to find out what it's going to cost to disconnect our floor drains in this church from the city sewer system. And to have them rerouted to where? I don't know. I haven't even investigated. I don't even know what it takes. But folks, sounds like a good opportunity to leave this property. So it sounds like a good opportunity to move to a larger facility. A larger facility for what? A larger facility for more Sunday school classes. A larger facility for ministry growth. A larger facility to do what God has called us to do as soon as possible. We better move on before I say too much. Page number 13. I got a whole medicine bottle. I just can't give it to you all at once. You know, you got to spoon it out in doses. Page number 13. We need to hire additional full-time staff. Additional full-time staff by June 2017. As a church grows and expands its ministry, the need for additional full-time staff becomes more and more apparent. Making sure that the pastor can focus his time on prayer and study for his preaching and teaching is most important. And so it becomes necessary to have staff that can serve alongside of the pastor to make sure that the various ministries are operating decently and in order. Having men and women who serve the church full-time will greatly help in the overall health and growth of the church. A pastor can multiply his efforts by having a full-time staff that he oversees. Now, when I say hire additional full-time staff, I'm not immediately causing you to think that we're going to go outside of the church to hire that staff. This doesn't mean that I'm going to start shopping around at Bible colleges looking for some young man or some young couple to come on staff, although that would not be out of the question. I've already taught our church, and we mentioned in the message that I preached a few weeks ago, that one of the things our church has to do is to train men for positions of leadership. I even said the night that I preached that message that I'm looking at your boys tonight, and some of those boys are still in the auditorium tonight. I'm looking at your boys tonight to be my mighty men 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. I really believe a healthy church does grow some of its own staff. People that have grown up in the ministry, people that have been under the pastor's teaching, people that have been in the Sunday school department, that have been a part of this ministry, obviously make a great candidate for somebody that comes alongside of and serves the pastor for the work of the ministry. So who are these full-time staff? Well, I don't have any specific names, and I don't have any specific plans yet, but they're very important for the health of our church. They're very important for our church to continue moving forward and growing. Why? Because as you turn the page, you're going to see that we're starting a Baptist Academy. I believe it's God's will for us to start the Calvary Baptist Academy by September 2017. With the further academic decline and moral decay of the public school system, Christian parents are faced with the decision of where and how to give their children the type of education that would be pleasing to the Lord. As it becomes harder and harder to place children in the public school system with a clear conscience, parents will be forced to either homeschool or turn to some type of private school. Although homeschool is a wonderful option, it's not always the right option for every family. Christian parents should prayerfully consider any education decision they make for their children. And with Calvary Baptist Academy available, parents will be comforted to know that their children will be receiving an education that supports what they are being taught at home and at church. I haven't spoken too much in a public setting of my philosophy of education. I've had a number of conversations riding in the church bus back and forth from camps and different events. And so some of you have heard some of the things that I've had to say about my philosophy of education. But I would be extremely leery of ever putting a Christian child in the public school system. I would say that it was less of a danger even 10 years ago, less of a danger 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, prior to taking prayer out of school, prior to taking the Bible, I mean, kids in the public school system are having the CLA represent them because they can't bring their Bible to fifth grade. Because they can't bring their Bible to second grade. I mean, it's just becoming quite atrocious and alarming at what's going on in our public school system. And folks, it's coming to Iowa. Well, this is the Midwest and we're conservative people. No, the battle is on our front porch. It's here. These things are going on. The Common Core, it's only going to get worse. And so I would just strongly warn any Christian parent from putting their kids in the public school system. It's a dangerous place to put your kids. Okay, well then what are you going to do? Maybe you feel like my wife and I. We basically decided that we weren't going to put our kids in public school, and we'd settled that a long time ago. If we were still living in Arkansas, our children would be attending Ambassador Baptist Academy there in Malvern, Arkansas, at Gospel Light Baptist Church. And so that's just what we had prepared to do, and we're planning to do. Well, we move here. God leads us a different place, and now we're forced with a decision. Well, what's right for our family? So we had to start praying and asking the Lord, what are we going to do? Are we going to homeschool our kids, or are we going to look for an alternative, a private school? We did go to Waterloo Christian, and we met the principal and had some discussions and investigated some, and we didn't feel comfortable putting our kids in Waterloo Christian School. So that left us with homeschooling as our only option. That's been a wonderful option, and it's healthy for our family, but it's not healthy for every family. I've told a number of people that are sitting in the auditorium in our service on a regular basis that homeschooling is not right for everybody because it's not right for your marriage. And your marriage comes before the education of your kids. Right. Your marriage is your first priority. And if your marriage hurts because you have to homeschool, I don't think that's a right balance to have. So homeschooling is not a good option for everybody. Well, Christian school, what options do we have out here? Are we going to send our kids to Valley Lutheran? Are we going to send our kids to, you know, Columbus High or whatever Sacred Heart or all these other ones are? Well, if you sit down and ask me in my office, I'd strongly not recommend that either at all. To put them in a situation where they're going to learn separate, different than what they're learning in Sunday school, what they're learning at home. So some parents might feel forced to homeschool when it's not what's best for theirs. Family. So what I believe God wants us to give our families is the opportunity to put their kids in a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church. We're not going to have a Christian school that's going to stand alone separate from our church. We're not going to have a Christian school that's going to operate under its own financial umbrella. Amen. We're not going to have a Christian school that's going to operate under its own administration and leadership. We're going to have a Baptist Academy that's a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, where the families that God gives us as we continue to see increase, maybe even families that are sitting here tonight, will have the opportunity to put their children in a place where they know they'll be instructed, they know they'll receive the kind of education and the kind of training that supports what's being taught at home and being taught at church. I thought it a strange thing the first Sunday that I was here that three different families asked me. I just showed up! The first Sunday that I'm here, three families asked me, Pastor Wayne Scott, are we ever going to start a Christian school? Three different families. Miss Kate, you were one of them. The other two people aren't in our ministry anymore. They're not attending our church. Three people the first Sunday that I was here asked me, Pastor Wayne, sir, are we ever going to start a Christian school? And my answer roughly back then was, no, not anytime soon. No, we're not starting one tomorrow. Why? Because I've been down that road. We started a Christian school when I moved to Malvern. I've seen and experienced, I've been the principal of a Christian school. I've seen some of the ways that a Christian school can hurt a church, where the cart can get before the horse, where it can hurt families and do some great damage. And so it's very, very important for me over the next 2 years to teach you a proper, balanced philosophy of church and school. Amen. A proper balance and philosophy of church, home, and school. And for us to hire some staff, because folks, we're not going to be able to have a school without some full-time staff. We're not going to be able to have a school without some volunteer staff. You know, one of the things I'm excited about having a Christian school, Calvary Baptist Academy, and that'll be the name of it. One of the reasons I'm excited about having this as a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church is because it will give you an opportunity to serve the Lord through the local New Testament church. Amen. Some of you need to get involved. Where are you going to get involved at? Maybe it'll be at the academy. Maybe it'll be working in one of our classrooms. Will it be a paid position? Well, we pay Murray a little bit, but hardly even gets him here on property to mow the grass, and we don't fix his lawnmower when it breaks, so I wouldn't count on a full-time salary if you're serving the Lord through the local New Testament church, and it happens to be the academy. Our nursery workers, do we pay them? Our Sunday school teachers, do we pay them? I'm excited about the opportunity. See, if a Christian school is a ministry of the local New Testament church, it's run differently than an institution. It's run differently than something that operates outside of the authority of the local New Testament church. I still got a few of you here tonight. You're wondering, is that the logo? Well, that's the suggested logo. The Calvary Baptist Academy Crusaders. You see that his cape is a sea, his sword, the sword of the Spirit, has the cross on it. Wearing the full armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, so on and so forth. My concept and idea right now is blue and white, blue and silver would be the colors, the school colors. The final item that you see here is starting KCBC radio station by January 2018. Somebody asked me, my wife, well, how come it's not WCBC? I actually like WCBC better than I like KCBC, but when I've been investigating radio stations and what it's going to entail to start one, any radio station west of the Mississippi is supposed to have a K, blah, 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 blah. Any radio station east of the Mississippi is supposed to be W, blah, 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 blah. Now, there are some radio stations that don't follow that rule hard and fast, but I figured, well, if it's something that they've established in the industry, maybe we ought to abide by it. KCBC radio station. With one quick scan of the FM dial here in the Cedar Valley, you'll discover an obvious dearth of Christ-honoring programming. It's sad that a godly person should ever have to choose silence over station programming. When God wants to hear us sing, making melody in our hearts with a joyful sound. The Bible is full of commands and principles for us to have music in our lives. And so the faithful Christian is ever searching for good, godly music. That's why we have it in our bookstores. Music has always been a powerful medium for God or the devil to affect us spiritually. And there's no reason to let the devil have this stronghold in the Cedar Valley any longer. A radio station can also be a wonderful way to share the gospel and to influence a community for the cause of Christ. My desire for a radio station is to have something that will play godly music. The two so-called Christian radio stations that are readily available in our area are not stations that are safe to listen to 24/7. I'm not saying that there aren't some songs and some programming on there that is okay, that even I might be comfortable listening to. I don't listen to those stations. I don't keep my radio set to those stations. And so even I struggle. If I'm going to listen to something in my car, well, what's that leave me? Some classical music from time to time? Is classical music Christian music? Is classical music sacred music? Is it songs and hymns and spiritual songs making melody in our hearts? No, so my desire for a radio station is to have a radio station, an FM radio station, a full-watt FM radio station. I don't know if it'll be duplicated on any other stations, but we can reach as far as we possibly can out of our own property and off our own building. An FM radio station for all of us to listen to good, godly music. But there's a number of great programs out there as well that would be wonderful to have on a radio station, and I'm excited about that. You turn to the end of the book. These previous pages are intended to stir our hearts about the great and mighty things that God has in store for us. I'm convinced that as we continue to serve by His Spirit, I'm seeing how well you remember the last 3 years of my ministry. As continue to serve by His Spirit, making sure to follow the leader, that every time we take the next step, we'll be that much closer to fulfilling our 2020 vision. It's no accident that you and your family are here for such a time as this. Every single person is important in the will of God. And if we commit ourselves to supplying the needs of this body of Christ, our church, Calvary Baptist, then we can be confident that faithful is He that calleth us, who also will do it. By God's grace, may we be found faithful in the days and the years ahead to accomplish the 2020 vision that God has given us. Folks, I want you to keep that booklet. I want you to keep it handy somewhere. Because you get on a weekly basis a prayer bulletin. Well, folks, you've got a prayer booklet now. Yeah, right. I mean, you've got something in your hands that's going to demand an intense amount of prayer for our church to ever see any of these things a reality. All-night prayer meetings should be well attended this year. The three-day fasts should not be grumbled against. They should be excitingly participated in. Why? Because we've got something that God wants us to do, a real God. He's already been really doing something, actively involved in our lives. But don't you see, have you gotten just a glimpse of what the next 2 and 3, there's no dates in there that extend past 3 years. I've got things 4 years down the road. I've got things 5 years down the road. But now's not the time to share those, because we got something a year from now we need to get done. We got something 2 years from now we need to get done. 3 years. How about next week? We need a bigger building next week. Anybody got any ideas? I do. Actually, the Lord's already kind of hinting at something And I don't know if it's the Lord's will yet. I don't know if it's going to happen. But man, there's some things that we can do today, tomorrow, the next week, and the next month to see 2020 vision become a reality.